as he describes what will be coming. Lord, prepare us for that time. Draw those unto you that do not know you. Lord, let us go out and share the gospel with this lost world so that they will not have to suffer through discrimination. Now, watch over Craig now as he delivers the message you have laid on his heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Okay, you may turn now to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9, as we continue our series through this book of the Bible. However, I had Jeff read that because, as he mentioned, it does pertain to much of what we're looking at here in Daniel chapter 9. But when Jesus walked the earth, he spoke to his disciples, his Jewish disciples, about the end and its relationship to Israel. And he says that all the world will hate them. All the world will hate Israel and want them dead, and then the end will come. And he tells them it will be a time of tribulation, a time really when the Jewish people will be judged for many of the wrongs that they have done through history. One of them being the killing of their own Messiah. In fact, in John 1:11, the Apostle John says he came to his own and his own did not receive him. Jesus calls this time, though, a time of great tribulation, such that has never been on the earth before. Jeremiah 30 calls it the time of Jacob's trouble. And Daniel and the book of Revelation tell us that this time is going to last 7 years. In fact, Jesus directly says, in what Jeff just read there, that it refers to the 7 years, the very 7 years that we're going to look at and talk about in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. We've spent a couple weeks looking at this prophecy already, but we come to the end of it now in verse 27. And if you are interested, there is an entire series on our website as we went through the book of Revelation. We spent about 25 weeks detailing what happens during this 7 year period of time. But here's what I want us to take from what we're going to look at today. God has a plan for his people Israel. The entire book of the Bible revolves around Israel. Pretty much every ancient failure of theirs, imagine being in these shoes, okay? But almost every ancient failure of theirs is eternally recorded in God's Word. Can you imagine having every single one of your failures recorded in a book for everybody to read? Well, that's them, okay? That's them. Regardless of how badly they failed, how evil some of them have been, how ignorant and arrogant they, Israel, as a nation have been, God has a plan for them. He has a plan for them. God has made a promise to them as a nation in the end. And I am convinced that at least one of the reasons, well, let me back up here a second. I'm looking at my notes here and I'm missing some stuff that's important. God has made a promise to them and he will keep it. He has showed favor on them, regardless of how many mistakes that they have made. He has shown favor to them. He has made a promise to them, and he will keep it. God will give them victory in the end. God will save them as a nation in the end. And I am convinced, I am convinced that at least one of the reasons we are given these terrible details, these gory details, is so that we can know that if God could be that patient, that forgiving, that loving, that gracious, and that merciful to them, and we can read about all of their failures, we can read them all. If he can be that to them, he can be that to us too. He can be that merciful, that gracious, that loving, that forgiving, that patient. And therefore, as we see God being all of those things to this people called Israel, we should be that to them as well. Gracious, merciful, forgiving. Because we are just as guilty. The difference is ours isn't recorded for everybody to see. Our failings. You see, God chose Israel so that through them, the world can know who God is. That the world can know how forgiving and patient and gracious and merciful he is. However, as we look in our world today, we see the world going in the exact direction that Jesus said it would toward Israel. Israel is hated in our world. Never did I dream that with the history of the Holocaust less than 100 years ago, okay? Never did I dream in my lifetime this seeming worldwide hate for them again. Israel's hated in our world, and that is so clearly demonstrated through the sheer depravity of man. There is a worldwide desire almost for another Holocaust toward them. But when God made his promise to Abraham, the father, okay, the father of Jacob, Israel, listen to what he said. I'm just going to read it to you. It's from Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. God says to Abraham and his descendants, Israel, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. Well, this last 7-year period of time is not only a time of trouble for Jacob, Israel, but it is a time of judgment upon the wicked of the world. It is a time when all those who have cursed Israel will be cursed. And Daniel gives us a few details as they relate to Israel. Now, as we've been going through this, there are notes available out in the back if you want them later on. Dave has a lot of this up on the screen, but I'm just going to review the main themes we've looked at over the past couple of weeks. First of all, we saw a 70-week period is determined. And as we noted, this 70 weeks is years, okay? It's weeks of years. This is 70 weeks, and it's speaking of a 490-year period of time. And the reason we know that it's a 490-year period of time is because it is a direct reflection of the 490 years in which Israel disobeyed God and led to their captivity. The captivity that Daniel is in right now. That is where Daniel and Israel are. So a 70-week period is determined, and in the next verses, we began to break down those 70 weeks of years. And keep in mind, this was all future for Daniel. But in verses 25 and 26, we looked at those last week, we saw a 69-week period till Messiah. Daniel is literally told that in 69 weeks of years, that's 483 years from the command to rebuild Jerusalem, Messiah will come. This is all future for Daniel. This is the first two pages of the notes that we went through. And it was all fulfilled. It's all been fulfilled historically now for us, just as God predicted. Last week we saw these 69 weeks of years, 483 years, broken down into a 49-year increment and a 434-year increment. 49 years from the command to rebuild Jerusalem to its completion. 434 years after that, until Messiah comes, is cut off, and is killed. This is all being predicted with almost surgical precision, and now where we are has been fulfilled. Had there been Jewish scholars during Jesus' day that would have taken the time to look into the deeper look deeper into what they considered the lesser prophets, like Daniel, all right? They could have predicted almost to the day when Messiah would come. And they would have known without a doubt that Jesus is him. However, this prophecy began talking about 70 weeks, and Messiah was cut off at the end of week 69, and now we come to a separate one-week period of time. 7 years, a seven-year period after the 69 weeks of years. And if you have the notes, again, Dave will have this up there for you, but this last page of our notes, we will see that this last week, this last 7 years, is actually future for us as well. This last week is separate. It's separate because there has been a very large gap of time between Messiah's being cut off and rejected and his return and being received. Okay? And we're going to connect what we look at today quite a bit to the book of Revelation. But we now come to our last page of notes, and we're going to see a separate one-week period of the end. So if you're in Daniel chapter 9, let's look at verse 27. It says, "Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week." And I'm just going to stop there for a second. And I want you to know that the "he" being spoken of there points back to verse 26. And it is "he who is to come." That's the "he" we're talking about. He who is not here yet, he who is to come. It says, "Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate." Now we're going to take this bit by bit here this morning. But the 1 week is separate because of a gap in time. There is a gap in this 70-week timeline between Messiah being cut off, killed, and then the rule, the future rule, his future rule in his kingdom. Because Israel rejected their Messiah when he came, God has turned his attention toward the Gentile world for an undisclosed period of time. In fact, listen to Acts chapter 1. I'll just read it to you. Acts chapter 1, verses 8 through 11. And he's talking to his disciples here. And he says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in a like manner as you saw him go into heaven. So this 1 week is separate because of a gap in time. And that gap in time is from Jesus being cut off till the point that he returns. This gap in time is the church age. It is the period of time that we are in right now. After his death and resurrection, he told his disciples in Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And the church is to do that. You and I are to do that until he comes for us. Now listen to this passage in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17. It says, For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. That right there is what you and I are waiting on. That right there is when this 70-week time clock begins again for the Jewish people. And when that happens, when we who are alive and remain are caught up together with him in the clouds to meet him in the air and be with him forever. When that happens, not only will perhaps millions of people disappear from the earth. That's exactly what this is describing. A vanishing. We're caught away. We're gone. Not only will perhaps millions of people immediately disappear from the earth, but can you imagine what earth will be like if all of a sudden millions of people disappeared? Chaos. Chaos. Imagine millions of people just vanishing. Airplanes in the air and the pilot gone. That's what's being described in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Believers being caught away with to be with the Lord will cause worldwide chaos for those that remain. And that's just the beginning. But when that happens, the Jewish time clock begins again. I'm going to read part of what Jeff just read there back in Matthew 24. You can just listen. But it says, in this gospel of the kingdom, this is Jesus speaking. He says, in this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all the world as a witness to the nations, and then the end will come. Therefore, and again, he's talking to the Jewish people here. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, that's the temple, whoever reads this, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Those in Judea is a reference to the Jews. And upon the end of the church age, God's attention returns to the Jewish people again. Upon the end of the church age, God is going to focus on them, okay? And they are told of this abomination of desolation. And they are told that when he enters the Jewish temple, run. Because things are going to get bad. Run to the hills because judgment is coming. There will be tribulation on the earth. And the prince who is to come is the abomination of desolation. We've been talking about this last week, this week. This prince who is to come is the abomination of desolation. That is what Jesus calls him in Matthew 24. That is how Daniel identifies him here. Abomination means filthy and disgusting. Desolation means destruction. So this prince will destroy through things that God finds disgusting. Namely, sin. Anything goes. Also, Daniel in chapter 7 and 8 saw him as a vision of the little horn. Do you remember that? Revelation 13 uses that exact same imagery of him and his rule. Daniel later in later chapters is going to call him the man of sin and lawlessness. 1 John 4:3 calls him the Antichrist. This is a real man who will be possessed by Satan himself during this 7-year period of time. The events of the week are as follows. And we'll go through verse 27 here line by line. It says, the future prince will make a covenant. It begins, he says, he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. He will seem to have all of the answers, even amid the chaos that just happened. He will bring seeming peace on the earth. I say seeming because elsewhere in Scripture we're told it's going to be a false peace. In fact, Revelation chapter 6 speaks of him as a ruler who comes on a white horse like a hero. He will make a promise to rule in peace for 7 years. He will even let the Jews build their temple and sacrifice again. They don't have a temple now, but they will. Wow, can you imagine? Peace in the Middle East. The future prince will make a covenant, but as we continue to read, we learn that this future prince will break the covenant. Verse 27, the end of it says, the next section says, but in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. So right in the middle of the 7 years, as Jesus says in Matthew 24, he's going to enter the Jewish temple. And Revelation chapter 13 describes the scene with him as a beast, basically deeming himself God, demanding the world worship him. He sets up a one world religion. He sets up a one world government, one way to trade and live. And he sets up an image that tells people, if anyone doesn't worship me, the beast, kill them. He will be supernaturally empowered by the devil and make war with everyone who is not on his side. I want you to listen. I'm going to read part of Revelation 13, verses 15 through 17. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many who would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or name of the beast or the number of his name. Well, Jesus in Matthew 24 says, when you see him break that covenant, when you see this Antichrist, this abomination of desolation, break the covenant, run. Run to the hills because things are going to get really, really bad. The future prince will break the covenant. Next, we see the future prince will make desolate. It says, on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate. And that word wing here refers to really his widespread influence in the world. Through his disgusting, sinful, blasphemous ways, he will bring the people of the world to destruction. His leadership will be disgusting, sinful, and destructive in the eyes of God. His one world religion will be disgusting, sinful, and destructive in the eyes of God. His one world government will be disgusting, sinful, and destructive in the eyes of God. He will basically make war with everything connected to God. And he will be so loved by the world, so loved by the wicked, that no matter what happens, no matter what kind of wrath God brings down on the world, they will continue to curse and fight God. The future prince will make desolate, and then the future prince will have an end. The end of that verse says, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate. And the desolate refers to the one who is making everything desolate, along with all those who are following him. And we are told right here that something is predetermined. Something predetermined is going to be poured out on him in the end. Well, Daniel himself, we'll describe a little bit more about that when we get to chapter 12. But once again, the book of Revelation describes the wrath of God. The wrath of God being poured out on the wicked of the earth through seven seal judgments, seven trumpet judgments, seven bowl judgments, consummating in one last war at the end of the 7 years, in which every wicked person that is still alive will come against God, and Jesus will come again and wipe them all out like they're grapes being crushed. That is how the second coming of Christ goes down. And that will be the end of the princes that abomination of desolation's reign. That will be his end and the beginning of Messiah's reign on the earth in the promised kingdom. And all Israelites who survived this will enter their kingdom just as God promised them. And that was a crash course concerning God's future plan for his people Israel. Two last things here that I want to mention. These are extracurricular and not directly from our passage, but connect well to it. One of them is a divine truth. We'll end with that one. The other is a speculation. So first, the speculation. During these 7 years, the one world religion could be Islam. And I'll tell you why I say that. Many have speculated as to who the Antichrist could be there. I mean, that has been happening since Jesus ascended into heaven. I'm not going to go there. However, I do want to read you an interesting paper that I put together. It was actually for a Wednesday evening Bible study through Revelation. So those of you that were there, this is you've seen this before. But it concerns the Muslims' Mahdi. While the Quran doesn't say much about this Mahdi, there is a great deal of Islamic tradition that does. The Mahdi The Mahdi is Islam's coming Messiah. This is who they think their Messiah is. The Mahdi is who they're awaiting. And this is just a few things, not all of them, but I got 18 things here for you, according to Islamic teachers concerning their Messiah. All right. He will be a descendant of Muhammad and bear Muhammad's name. No surprise there. He will be a very devout Muslim. No surprise there. He will be an unparalleled spiritual, political, and military world leader. He will emerge after a period of great confusion upon the earth. Now, this is what they teach, okay? He will establish justice throughout the world and eradicate tyranny. He will be the leader of Muslims worldwide. He will lead a world revolution and establish a one-world government. He will lead military action against all those who oppose him. He will invade many countries. He will make a 7-year peace treaty with the Jews. He will conquer Israel after, of course, the next one is he will conquer Israel for Israel. So we learn that he breaks the covenant, okay? He will conquer Israel for Islam and lead the faithful Muslims to slaughter Jews. He will establish the new Islamic world headquarters from Jerusalem. He will cause Islam to be the only religion practiced on the earth. He will appear and be known for riding a white horse. He will have supernatural power from Allah. He will be loved by all of the people of the earth. He will reign for about 7 to 9 years, and he will reign until Jesus returns. They believe in the human Jesus. They believe he's coming back. Many of these coincide with the description of the Antichrist given by Daniel, Jesus, and John. It could be that the Muslim Messiah is the Antichrist. And just one other note, right from the book of Revelation, the Muslims' preferred means to execute infidels is beheading. Revelation 24, and I saw thrones, and they who sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshiped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. That's the speculation. Here's the truth. During these 7 years, Israel, the Jews, they are going to realize they missed their Messiah the first time. They're going to realize that while they rejected him the first time he came, as soon as the abomination of desolation takes his stand in the temple, they're going to realize, hey, this is what Daniel said. This is what Jesus said. He was right. Jesus was our Messiah. Jesus came to save us, to be our promised King, and we crucified him. And the saddest part about all of this is that they were even warned about that in their own scriptures. The Jews were. Listen to Psalm 22:16. It describes Jesus' crucifixion. For dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. And then Zechariah, the prophet of Israel, describes what's going to happen to Israel yet future from now. What's going to happen when they see the abomination of desolation break that covenant and put himself in the temple as God? Zechariah 12:10 describes Israel's realization, and I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me whom they pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. During these 7 years, Israel will realize we missed our Messiah. We missed him. And then finally, recognizing what Daniel said here, recognizing what Jesus had prophesied, finally, they will recognize Jesus as the Messiah. They will worship him, love him, and obey him. And because of God's plan for his people, we can learn it right now. We can learn it, or we can know it right now. We don't have to wait for all this to happen. We can know it right now before it's too late. Right now is the time to realize Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Savior. He came to take our sins upon himself and die for us so that we would not have to experience the coming wrath of God. Right now is the time to trust in him. And if Jesus comes and you're left behind, you will go through what is predicted in the book of Revelation. Realize who Jesus is and realize that he came. He came to save you from the punishment of sin. He came to wash us clean so that we could have a restored, a reconciled relationship with him forever. Place your faith in him now. We've looked at this. We've seen so much of this that has already passed. And seeing the precision of what had passed should cause us to believe what is yet coming. Place your faith in him right now. 1 Thessalonians 5 9 and 10 says, "For God did not appoint us," that is us who have placed our faith in him, excuse me, "for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him." John 3:36 says, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." And again, by seeing the precision of what has passed, I pray that we might prepare ourselves for the future. Father, thank you for our time in this prophecy. Thank you for the detail that you've given Daniel and how it so directly connects to what Jesus said, directly connects to what the Apostle John recorded through the power of your Spirit, Lord, for us, so that we could be warned, so that we would not do what Israel has done and is doing. Lord, I do thank you again just for the precision of what we've seen here, that we might ready ourselves for the future, ultimately, that we might trust in you so that we might avoid the wrath to come. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.